Yourself Miracles, Session 7. Develop your Power G's. Hey, it's great to have you back again, and many thanks for sending me your progress summaries. Take some time out to congratulate yourself, and I hope your imaginary boss is ready to give you a pay rise. I also hope you had a lot of fun practicing your anchoring, and now you have a powerhouse of confidence available at your fingertips. When I was putting together material for Yourself Miracle, I reflected at length about my life, the many changes, the ups and downs, successes and failures, you know, all that kind of stuff. I also thought about all the things I have in my life, not specifically material things, but experiences mainly gained through my association with other people. I can tell you, this felt very good, and I laughed a lot as I remembered some of the crazy times I had as a teenager and some of the stupid things I did and said. But I also remember many unhappy times as a young man, when I felt really alone and the world was against me. Everything just seemed to be wrong, and I laid the blame firmly at my parents' doorstep. I had a stupid name. I had orange hair. Yeah, I had hair then. But I was also losing this hair. My father wasn't rich. My mother wasn't stunningly beautiful. My parents never gave me a kid sister that I could love and learn from. Just two annoying brothers to fight with. Hey, slow down there, Sledge. Why didn't you neutralize these thoughts? Well, that's a good question. The reason I wanted to continue down this path was to understand how all of this changed. I haven't had these kinds of thoughts for many years, so what turned it all around? Now, before you say you grew up or you matured, I have to tell you, I carried these negative thoughts, and there were many more, well into my 20s. Then I asked myself, what changed all of this? The answer that I got may surprise you. It certainly did me. But when I really thought about it, it all began to make sense. The answer I got was gratitude and giving. Now let me explain further. Everybody gets frustrated when bad things happen to them or they don't get what they want. It happens to people regularly, and when it does, most people will turn into drama queens and drive straight into the "why is this happening to me" routine. Then they want to start a witch hunt, you know, who can they blame for this? As an example that most people are familiar with is their car breaking down or failing to start. Now, if you don't have a car, then please just go with me on this. Okay, picture the scene. It's a cold, frosty morning. You've overslept. You have an important meeting with the boss at 9 a.m. and your baby kept you awake most of the night. Miraculously, you manage to wash, eat, get dressed and grab your stuff ready to go in record time. And you've decided that if you break the speed limit at every opportunity and take a few shortcuts, you will make it to the office on time. But the biggest shock to your system still awaits you. Your beloved carriage, and believe me, your view is going to change on this, that takes you everywhere you want to go, whenever you want it to, is going to kick you right in the proverbials. You see, the previous evening saw a sudden change in the weather, with the temperature dropping considerably. You heard this was coming yesterday, but while your neighbours were out checking their cars and covering their engines with blankets to prevent failure, you were couch potatoing. So what happens? After eventually scraping the ice off the door to get it open, you stick your key in the ignition, turn it, and presto, instant battery flatness. Now you try talking nicely to it. "Come on, darling, sweetheart, baby, my angel." Then this quickly turns to, "You complete piece of..." Then the steering wheel gets it, maybe the seat, or the classic all-time, you get out and kick the tyres. Why on earth do we do that? Hang on, here comes the blame cycle. "Huh, my brother borrowed it 2 months ago, he must have thrashed it to death, or I'll kill the guy who sold me this." Now, while all this is going on, you of course forget a few pertinent facts. Fact 1, you've had the car so long, you can't even remember who sold it to you. Fact 2. The last time you checked the oil, water and the battery, Michael Jackson was at number 1. Fact 3. The last time you had the car serviced, the Beatles were at number 1. Fact 4. Last week you had trouble starting it, but because you eventually got it going, this is now a distant memory. Fact 5. The car has taken you on thousands more miles of journey than you ever deserved, given your minuscule care and attention to it. Okay, a funny story, particularly when it happens to someone else. So what's the point of this? Well, let's finish the story. Our imaginary car owner is now in Stress City. He frantically calls his boss to apologise and resigns himself to slumming it on the bus, train, subway or whatever alternatives are available. He is raging inside, and all of his energy is draining away faster than the speed of light. And his day has only just begun. What kind of mood do you think he's going to be in when he arrives at the office? Well, he will be a grovelling, subservient lump of weakness to his boss. To other people, he would be like a snarling tiger who has a thorn in his paw. Do you think this guy is going to have a successful day? It's not looking likely, is it? Now, I'll let you into a secret. The guy in the story was me. This happened to me so long ago that Michael Jackson probably was number one. Have I experienced any car failures since then? Sure. But I didn't get enraged like I did back then. And why is that? Because I've learnt the power of gratitude. Oh, I get it, Sledge. Now you're grateful if your car falls to bits. Oh, sure, I'm really grateful my car fails. No. I'm not grateful for my car failure, but I am grateful to have a car in the first place. I'm also grateful that there are several other alternatives to get to my destination if my car does fail me. What I have done is learn to truly appreciate the things that I have in my life, be this people or things. Since I started appreciating things more, I have experienced more joy in my life and have been less angry and stressed out. Does this mean that I'm never angry when things go wrong? Unfortunately not. But now my anger is very short-lived, as I think how lucky I am to be in the situation in the first place. And guess what? Since I've adopted this attitude of gratitude, my life has been filled with the most wonderful things that I could only have dreamed of. These days we live in a world of instant gratification and high expectations. This is called progress, and of course is a good thing on the whole, but it has made people less and less grateful. Instead, our stress levels have risen and we've become a race of bitches and moaners. A lot of modern comedy revolves around this trend, and we laugh heartily at the people as everything goes wrong for them and they arrive in Stress City. But really, we're laughing at ourselves. Grateful people focus their attention on the good that the world has to offer. They expect good things to happen to them, and as a result, attract these good things into their lives. They focus on what they have rather than what they don't have. They are always grateful to receive anything, however small it is. Grateful people continue to receive. So if you're working to pay the bills and using your self-miracle in your spare time to improve your life, be grateful that you have this job to support you and yours while you're taking action to change your life. This doesn't mean that you should not change your life for the better and be continuously committed to this. That's what your self-miracle is all about. Just be grateful that you have a way of providing what you need to continue on your journey to your desires. So what exactly is gratitude? Well, one of the dictionary definitions I found was giving thanks. That makes sense, doesn't it? So how can you continue to receive by being grateful? Well, it's because you're giving. If you give, you receive. This is a law of life that works every time. But a word of warning here, you must not deliberately give to receive. Hey Sledge, have you turned into a preacher? No, I haven't. Look, I'm not asking you to become religious if you're not already. I just want you to have faith in the world and humanity. When you give something to somebody, it's not the material thing that you give, it's important, it's the feeling behind it. This can be love or appreciation. When I receive anything, I am grateful, even if I've paid for it. I always thank shop assistants for my purchase, and I do this with sincerity. Listen, I'm not nuts. Whatever it is I'm receiving, somebody somewhere in the world used their time and skill to make it for me. Forget the commercialism for a moment and reflect on that thought. How many true friends do you have in this world? What is a true friend? Well, my definition is someone that's always pleased to see you and would do anything for you and expect nothing in return. When I use one hand to count my true friends, I still have fingers left. Out of the many hundreds of people that I have met in my life, I can only say that three of them are really true friends. How about you? Sure, I have a ton of people I can call to have fun with and end up in an alcoholic haze, but if the going gets tough, they will always have a reason to leave. Now, I'm not trying to depress you here, it's just a fact. I actually think it's a good thing. Having too many true friends is also a big obligation for us. I would sooner share my true friendship with a small number of people than dilute it amongst many. How do you view giving? What goes through your mind when family and friends' birthdays come around? Do you feel joy in surprising them with a gift from your heart, or do you feel like it's an obligation? Be totally honest with yourself. You don't have to tell anybody. I won't lie to you, I used to think sometimes that these events were an obligation. My life has always been busy, and the thought of taking time out not only to go and get a present for somebody, but to spend even more time thinking about what to buy them was a complete pain in the saddle. Now, I've changed my mindset and I think to myself, what can I do for him or her that will make them feel special? The joy on their faces after I've done this is something money just cannot buy, and it fills me with happiness. If you feel at all obligated, then ask yourself the same question. It will change your thought process completely. I've always been a generous man. I tend to make money and then quickly lose it. Many of my friends and family have told me that I'm crazy for being so generous, but I won't change. I'm confident that I will always be able to make more money, so why not share what I have with others? I used to judge people on their generosity or lack of it. I remember a guy that I worked with for a long time who had very short arms and deep pockets, as we say in the UK. If you don't quite understand what this means, he was a complete miser with money, and he had much money. Some say this is a sickness. Maybe it's true. It was certainly a habit he had developed over many years. We used to have a drink after work on a Friday, and this guy would tag along. He was always very bar shy, and I think he only bought one round of drinks in a whole year, and that was only because we cajoled him into doing it. But we always enjoyed having him along, as he was a constant source of amusement to us. I'll never forget one day when we decided to buy our own drinks in a bid to make him feel guilty. It didn't. He stood one night with a cardboard cutout of a glass of beer, chatting away to us, bold as brass. Now, the bar we used was fairly dark, and he did this to avoid the wrath of the bar staff. We laughed like drains. He certainly never gave us any of his money, but his entertainment value was priceless. The point of all this is to ask you to set aside around 10% or so of your income to giving. You don't have to be crazy like me and give far more than that, but don't be like the guy in the story that I just told you. You will never feel the true joy of giving, and your money will never feel good to you. It's up to you what you do with your 10%. I'm sure you have family and friends to give it to, and there are many worthy causes too. If you see a beggar in the street, why not give them a few pennies? By making someone's life a bit more bearable, you will be rewarded later, I assure you. I want to hear about your success with Your Self Miracle. I didn't record this program just to make a few bucks. I genuinely want to give you the tools to empower yourself to a better life. I don't want you to just listen to me and do nothing. Do you hear me? Put everything you can into your life and you'll get the most from it. This is another version of giving to receive. It's a law of life. When I receive testimonies from people about the program, I am genuinely elated. I always reply to them and thank them sincerely for taking the time out to send the testimonial to me. When you receive something from someone, show your gratitude too. It doesn't matter if you paid for it or not. We all need money to live. Look beyond the money and value the effort that went into producing whatever it is you have just acquired. You will feel a warm feeling inside, and so will the person giving it to you. As you are progressing through your tasks, take the time out to be grateful that you have moved a step closer to your desires. Be thankful that you had the energy and the necessary tools to complete what you've achieved so far. It's vital for true success in your life. So there you have it, your two power G's, gratitude and giving. Practice them every day and live a richer, more rewarding life. Once you've started on this path, you won't want to stop, and nor should you. To conclude this session, I'd like you to do a very simple exercise for me. As usual, go to the webpage link that I sent you with this recording, and you will see two questions and two answer boxes. The questions are as follows. What am I really grateful for right now in my life? And what can I give to someone today to make them feel special? Now, for the gratitude question, just make a list of one-liners, for example, which you might include to say you're grateful for your health, my spouse, or put their name, that I have food and water, that I have the energy and knowledge to improve my life and those of others, and so on. Now, it's not a competition. If you can only come up with a few things, then that's fine. Just do it with sincerity. For the giving question, I'm not talking about going out and buying a gift for somebody. If you want to do that, then fine. But just giving someone a hug or telling them that you love them or really appreciate their friendship will be enough. Try and do this with someone where you can see their face change and feel their joy. If you have to email somebody, then I will guarantee you will get a great response. If you're not used to doing this kind of thing, they may think you've been drinking. Tell them that you have been thinking about them a lot and truly mean what you said or did. Believe me, it will work. Send this to me as usual, and I will send you the link to the penultimate session, Accelerating Your Self-Miracle. Believe me, you don't want to miss this one. And finally, keep on going with your actions and remember, I'm watching you. Until the next time, my friend, be grateful.